As a believer, God wants your life to count for eternity. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to make a difference with our lives for the cause of Christ.
David's vision for his future generation was that they would have a clean heart and a willing heart. And I say to you today, we need strong houses of worship, strong local churches preaching the Word of God, strong churches today drawing the hearts of men and women and boys and girls more and more for God Almighty, keeping us headed in the right direction. That was the vision of David.
How can we translate our concern for our country and the world into meaningful action? The answer is found in our series, Making a Difference. Through today's study, we will learn how to influence those around us and how to live a life that brings honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The most effective way to make an impact on the world is to make an impact on individual people. If you want to learn how to share your faith with others and how to make a difference for eternity, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Making a Difference Through Vision.
David wanted to build the temple so the children would have a heart for God. David wanted to build the temple so that God would be lifted up in the midst of his generation. Look at chapter 29 if you have your Bible there in verse number 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now take a note of that. The palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. I think those of you who've been here a while and those who are new, I trust you've seen it as well, that what we are doing on this campus is not primarily for man, though it will affect men, and David's heart was for the younger generation, but he knew that this place called the temple was for the Lord God. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, 32, whatsoever therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. God is a great God, and we can glorify Him. Let me tell you a few ways that we glorify God. First of all, we need to glorify God in our attitude. In our attitude, we need to glorify God with a positive attitude. I want you to see what David says in chapter 29 and verse 10, please. Listen to him glorifying God. He says, wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Look in verse 20. And David said unto all the congregation, now, bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation, bless the Lord God of their fathers. Now, please understand me. God is worthy of our praise, and our attitude should be an attitude of praising and blessing God. We're going to see in a moment, David gave 110 tons of gold for the building of the temple. Here is a man who is sacrificing in a way perhaps unknown in history, and he's blessing God for the fact that he could do it. He's praising God for the fact that he could give. And he tells all the people as they have their part to bless God for the fact that they could have a part in the work of God. Now we hear the phrase, God bless America, and by the way, he has. But while we ask God to bless America, we don't bless God. And it's time for his people, not merely to say, God bless us. It's time for us to do what David did and to bless God and to praise God and to worship God and to give to God and to love God. It's about us saying, bless you, God. Praise you, God. You are worthy of our praise. We glorify God in our attitude. Now, everything we do in life begins with an attitude. I mean, the way we started this service, we began with an attitude. Most folks come in expecting something, and those who do get something. Some folks come in because your wife drug you in. God bless you. I pray you get your heart right today. Amen. You don't get much out of it if you're because, man, I got to be here. When's this guy going to be over? And we don't get a lot out of it with that type of an attitude. Everything we do in life begins with an attitude. Now, the attitude towards the Lord and His work is important. And the most important aspect, in fact, of our giving to the Lord is our heart's attitude, because God does not want our money as much as He wants what it represents, and it represents us. He wants us to bless Him, and He wants us to praise Him with all of our lives. We glorify God when our attitude is right. We glorify God, secondly, in our preparation. In our preparation. Now notice in chapter 29 in verse 2 how David was preparing for the building of the temple. Chapter 29 verse 2. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of God, the gold for things to be made of gold, the silver to be things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Here was a man who was getting ready for the building of the temple. 2 Corinthians 9:5 is a New Testament parallel passage, and it speaks of the offering the church was receiving. And it said, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty," which means generous offering, "whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as a matter of covetousness." Watch this. In the Old Testament, when they got ready for the temple, it was glorifying to God that they would prepare for that offering. In the New Testament, it glorified God that they would go beforehand and make up the bounty. In Exodus 35 for the tabernacle, Moses said, "Let's get ready." With Joash, they were preparing through the chest that Joash had created. There is a biblical precedent. It is as biblical to get ready for a special offering as it is to observe the Lord's table. I'm saying to you, we glorify God when we are getting ready for God's special opportunity that has been given to us. David was giving towards something that he would never see in his lifetime. He was giving for a generation that he would never know, but he was a man of vision who saw the need out in front of him. Again, though he was entering the end days of his life, he was willing to give 110 tons of gold. Why? David recognized this. Giving is a protected investment that gets great rates. It is a way to honor God, and you can't lose when you're honoring God. And so we glorify and honor God with the right attitude. We glorify God in our preparation for His work. And thirdly, we glorify God with our affection. God is glorified when people love Him. Now look at verse 3 of this passage. In verse 20, chapter 29, verse 3, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." Now David says, because of my love for the house of my God, because of my affection, I have been getting ready for the things that God has called me to do. Now, a lot of people give for a lot of different reasons. A lot of people go to church for different reasons. I heard about two men who were stranded on an island, and their aircraft had crashed into this island, and they soon realized there's no water on the island. There was very little food on the island. One man began running around, setting fires, putting palm trees on fire. He was trying to let everybody know where he was. He was writing SOS in the sand. The other man that was with him just sat under a palm tree and just was kind of looking around and acting like there was no problem. Finally, the first man was very disturbed. He went to the second man. He said, "Do you not realize that we are within days of our death if we are not rescued? Why are you sitting here under this palm tree acting like there's no problem?" He said, "Don't you realize we could die?" Well, the fellow under the palm tree, he said, "You don't understand." He said, "I make $100,000 every single week." Well, the fellow said, "That's great, but you can't spend it when you're dead. You don't seem to understand what is going on here." The man underneath the tree said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "I make $100,000 a week." He said, "I tithe to my church. My pastor will find me." Now, folks, we don't give to the church or just because we like the pastor. We give because we are affectionate toward our God. David said, "My affection is for the house of our Lord." And I believe that when you're saved and you love Jesus Christ, we know it's not about these four walls, but you love the place where you worship God. And you love the privilege of worshiping God. And David knew that that temple would be a great help to future generations. And so his heart was for that place. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 20, the Bible says, "And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." You see, true love is always expressed, it's always shown. And money is so intimately related to the person that we cannot give money without giving a part of ourselves. And here it is. David said, "I love the Lord. And I am affectionate towards him. And so I am preparing to give for the house of the Lord." Well, we see David's vision for a future generation. And David's vision for the Lord's glorification. But notice finally with me this morning, David had a vision for personal consecration. Now, it's one thing to talk in the abstract. It's one thing to talk in circles about what could be done and how we could change the future and about glorifying God. A lot of people talk about these things. It's another thing to set yourself apart and say, "I will make a difference." And that's what David is doing here. I mean, he is consecrating himself. He is consecrating, which means to set apart his finances for the purpose of the work of God. Notice that in verse 5, please. He says, "The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers." And notice this, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Now, after David explained his involvement, he then said, "Who else is willing? Who else will be involved?" But what we want to be is consecrated. And David said, "I have consecrated. Now who else is willing to consecrate themselves unto the Lord this day?" In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped," notice this phrase, "but first gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God." You see, the great thing about the churches of northern Greece was that they had given themselves first to the Lord. Listen to me carefully. It's not about the amount first. What is first and foremost is giving yourself to the Lord. And they gave themselves. I hope you've come to a place in your Christian life where you recognize you are not your own. The Bible says you have been bought with a price. And God is very clear in His Word that by His precious blood He has redeemed us. And that we are not our own. And it's not your house, your business, your car. It is all His. And we're managing and stewarding what God has given to us. And so David asked that question in verse 5. Who then is willing to consecrate his service unto the Lord? Now, I want you to see the consecration in two or three quick areas. Notice, first of all, we must be consecrated to give. We must be setting apart and preparing to give. Now, notice this. It says it here in the Bible, verse 6. And let's just read it very quickly. "Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds and with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly," 1 Chronicles 29:6, "and gave," notice that word, "gave for the service of the house of God, gold, 5,000 talents, etc. Verse 8, "and they with whom precious stones were found," notice the word, "gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite." Notice verse 9, "then the people rejoiced." Someone says, "Wait a minute. These people are given gold and jewels, they're given all this stuff, and they are rejoicing as they did it?" Absolutely. Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." It's exciting to give to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were willing, "as every man purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." They were willing, the churches at Macedonia there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, they gave not only to their power, the Bible says, but beyond their power, they were willing to do what God let them do. Now, as you consecrate yourself, as you and I consecrate to give, there are two ways God wants us to give. And I want you to see these very quickly, and they're in your notes. First of all, God wants us to give joyfully. He wants us to give joyfully. And His Spirit helps us to give joyfully. Notice that again in verse 9, what it says. Then the people, what's that next word say? Say it with me. Then the people rejoiced for that they had offered willingly. The people rejoiced. Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive. I read this past week that 15% of all Americans give blood to the Red Cross on an annual basis. Just curious, how many of you last 12 months gave blood? Let me see. All right, we're about 7% only here. So we must be afraid of needles. I'm not sure. But 15%. Of the 15% of people who gave blood, 27% of those people are more likely to say that they are a happy person. Now that does not surprise me. For the Bible says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when we are a giving people, there is joy in our heart for giving to the Lord. In the Bible, the word believe is mentioned 271 times. The word prayer is mentioned 268 times. The word love is mentioned 714 times. But the word give is mentioned 2,168 times. God says it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, when I first fell in love with Terry, I could not keep money in my pockets. I mean, I would buy her a bouquet of flowers and say, happy 1 month anniversary. Guys, don't look at me like, wow, too bad, dude. You did it too. Happy 2 month anniversary. Happy anniversary for the day I said, I love you. Happy other anniversary for the day some days later when you said you love me. I mean, we look for ways to celebrate and to express our love. God says, will you give to me as an expression of your love? Will you give joyfully? And then secondly, will you give by faith? God wants us to have faith that he's not going to rip us off. He's going to take care of us. Look at what it says there in Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet or give, withal it shall be measured again. I want to tell you, my friend, with every promise in the Bible, there's a premise. There is a promise that God will give again to us. We've learned that in our lives. When we came to Lancaster, and some of you have heard some of the different stories of the early days, but I need to refresh my faith as well. And I think about coming down, and Terry and I had saved up a few $1,000s. I think we had $4,000 or $5,000, and by the time we rented a Ryder truck and first and last on an apartment and painted the old church, I mean, it literally was days when all that money was gone and just to get here to Lancaster. And then we were living by faith, no salary from the church, anything like that. And as we were going along in that process of time, we had learned that it was just going to come by prayer and trusting the Lord. And I'll never forget that second night we were here, and second Sunday night, I preached that night to about 10 or 12 people. Afterwards, one of the men of the church said, hey, pastor, you want to go out to eat? And he invited us out to eat. Now, there were two great things about that. Number one, he invited us to Noggles, which is a Mexican restaurant. You can say amen to that. If you do not like Mexican food, your taste buds will mature in time. I want you to know that. And so he said, we'll go have some Mexican food. And number two, the better part of it was, I told Terry, I think they like us. I think they want to have some fellowship with us. Well, after church was over that Sunday night, I did what all preachers do. I made sure the toilets weren't running. I turned off the water in the bathrooms. I turned off all the lights in all the rooms. I went around and locked all the doors, made sure everything was shut tight. After we got that done, we got in the car, we headed over. I said, honey, they're probably already eating. I said, so we'll have to order as we get in. I said, now, sweetheart, I said, I'm going to need some money when we get over there. I had written our last check that morning for tithe, and that was it. We had no money in the bank. I said, so I'll need some money. And my wife, Terry, looked at me, and she said, well, Paul, I don't have any money. And I thought about that for a minute. And if you're a young married in this room, just a little counsel. When a wife says she doesn't have money, she still has it. I had been married long enough to know that. And so I said to her, I said, sweetheart, I know you don't have any money, but give me some money. And that's when she looked at me, and I mean, she had big tears welling up in her eyes. And she said, Paul, not only do I not have money, but she says, at home in our cupboards right now, I don't have food to feed our family in the morning. And when she said that, I felt about that big as a man. And I wish I could tell you that I just, you know, started praying and money came down or whatever. But the first thing I did was not pray. The first thing I did was to turn around to Danielle, our five-year-old daughter at that time, and I said, Danielle, look in the back seat and see if you can find some coins under the back seat. And she found 72 cents. And I thought, that's not going to do a lot. And then I really did start to pray. And I said, Lord, you brought us to this city. By faith we came. And you said you'll provide our needs. And Lord, I have a real need right now. And I began to cry out to the Lord and ask for his help. We walked inside the restaurant and we were going to order up just a soft drink. The folks from the church, being the good Baptists that they are, were already over there eating. And so we were going to order our soft drink. And we walked up, and before I could say anything, the lady there at the window, she said, Mister, she said, I had a van load of teenagers pull through the drive-thru. They ordered all this food, and then for a practical joke, they drove off. She said, I'm going to have to throw all this away unless you folks would like to eat it. I looked at my wife. She looked at me. We started to cry. We high-fived. We hugged there. People were wondering what was going on with us. We went over to the corner there with those folks. We ate that meal. That next morning, about 7 o'clock in the morning, someone knocked on our door. It was Pastor Rick Houck from Brawley, California. He said, Brother Chapel, I don't know why, but he said, last night while I was preaching, God put your family on my heart. Our church took a special offering for you. And he said, Kathy and I went to the all-night grocery, and we bought all these groceries for you. And we just felt like God wanted us to drive up here through the night and bring these groceries for you. And they brought food that fed us for the next several weeks. And I want to tell you something, my friend. You cannot outgive God. And God says, I'm just looking for people who believe I can take care of them and who have faith to give. Oh, we need to be consecrated, setting things apart, getting ready to give. Consecrated to give. Secondly, consecrated to praise. Folks, let's get ready to praise God. Let's get ready to praise Him. Look what David did in verse 10 of chapter 29. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before the congregation. Look at this. The Bible says he gives an offering of praise and he prays out and he blesses God. And oh, what an opportunity we have to bless and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see that we are to be consecrated to give, and we're to be set apart to praise and bless the Lord. And notice, thirdly, we're to be consecrated to give gratitude. Look at verse 13. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Oh, I want to tell you something. You say, well, Pastor Chapel, you've been in a continuous building program, and we've never hired outside stewardship companies. The staff has always borne the extra administrative effort. And we've always had building committee meetings. We've always had to stretch. And we've every year given way beyond the meager tithe and sacrificially giving. And someone might say, Pastor Chapel, you get tired of it? Is it just something you'd like to stop doing? No, I want to tell you something. I'm glad I've had a part in this work for the glory of God. I'm grateful God privileged me. Look at what it says in verse 13. Now, therefore, our God, we, what do the next two words say? Thank thee. We thank thee. And so I share with you, my friends, the challenge that David shared with the congregation of Israel. Let us be strong and do it. Let us be strong for the faith, and let us do it for the faith. It takes vision to see and to anticipate what God is going to do. And it takes faith to believe and to trust in the promises of God. And may I say finally, it takes faith to become a Christian. And if you are here today and you say, I don't know about all this, I'm not even sure that one day I'll be in heaven with the Lord, I want to tell you something. Listen very carefully. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest anyone here misunderstand me today. If you're here and you think that because someone gives money or consecrates an offering to the Lord, that's how they get to heaven. That is not how you get to heaven. We don't give money so that we can work our way into heaven. Salvation is the free gift of Almighty God. And the reason we can give and still be grateful is because we know what we deserve. We deserve eternity in hell without Jesus.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chapel preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, You can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.